Welcome to Narracast Tech Briefing. We are tracking a fascinating shift in how open source software is managed in the age of generative AI, with a major browser project fundamentally changing its contribution model.
We also have some incredible new research tracing persistent GPS interference over Europe directly to a specific constellation of Russian early warning satellites.
And on the AI front, Anthropic has just released an open-source harness designed to let autonomous agents hunt for and patch complex software vulnerabilities.
It is a packed briefing today. Let's dive right in.
Let's start with space and navigation. Global Navigation Satellite System, or GNSS, signals are obviously critical for aviation, maritime, and terrestrial infrastructure. Usually when we hear about GPS jamming or interference, it is coming from terrestrial sources. But new research has identified a high-altitude, space-based source of interference that has been affecting Europe, Greenland, and Canada since 2019.
The research comes from Zachary L. Clements, Argyris Creases, and Todd E. Humphreys. They managed to trace this widespread interference to a constellation of Russian early warning satellites operating in highly elliptical Molniya orbits. Specifically, they pinpointed Cosmos 2546, which is NORAD ID 45608, as one of the primary sources.
A Molniya orbit is designed to allow a satellite to linger over high northern latitudes for long periods. That explains the geographic footprint of the interference. According to the study, these interference events are highly transient. They typically last less than 10 seconds, but during that window, they can drop the carrier-to-noise ratio at terrestrial receivers by up to 10 decibels.
10 decibels is a massive signal degradation. The researchers figured this out by utilizing data from a massive network of terrestrial GNSS reference stations. They essentially blended received power data with time difference of arrival measurements to triangulate the source, which is incredibly difficult when the transmitter is moving through space.
The big question this raises is intent. Is this deliberate, targeted jamming from a space-based platform, or is it an unintended hardware byproduct? Some analysts suggest it could be out-of-band emissions from the powerful radar or communications equipment on these early warning satellites, rather than an active electronic warfare campaign.
Right, but whether it is intentional or just sloppy engineering, the impact is the same. It highlights a severe vulnerability. Current terrestrial-based mitigation strategies are mostly designed to handle local, ground-based jammers. When the interference is raining down from an orbit that covers half a hemisphere, those local mitigations are largely useless.
It definitely changes the urgency for adopting authenticated signals. There has been a long-standing push to integrate protocols like Galileo's navigation message authentication, which would at least help receivers verify that the signal they are tracking is legitimate and hasn't been spoofed or aggressively degraded by an unauthenticated source.
Absolutely. It is a wake-up call that the electronic warfare environment, or at least the signal pollution environment, is no longer confined to the surface.
Moving to AI and cybersecurity, Anthropic released the Defending Code Reference Harness on June 4th. This is an open-source reference implementation specifically designed for autonomous vulnerability discovery and remediation using their Claude models.
This grew out of learnings from Anthropic's Claude Mythos preview and Project Glasswing, which is an initiative they ran with major tech companies to figure out how to secure critical software using AI. The framework they've released includes specific skills for threat modeling, scanning, triage, and actual patching.
What stands out to me is the heavy emphasis on safety and containment. They are using gVisor containers to sandbox the agents. The documentation makes a point of saying that security constraints have to be enforced in code, not just in prompts. You cannot just tell an LLM, "Do not break the server," and expect it to comply during a complex, multi-step execution.
Exactly. They are acknowledging that frontier models can go off the rails during long-running tasks. If an agent is actively compiling code, running tests, and interacting with file systems to hunt for 0 days, it needs to be in an environment where unexpected actions won't compromise the host system.
There is also an interesting economic angle here. The usage guidelines suggest that running this harness effectively requires about 10,000 input tokens and 2,000 output tokens per minute per agent. Depending on the specific Claude model you use, they note that costs can easily run into the hundreds or thousands of dollars.
Which sparks a debate in the security community about whether this is a product or a jig. A lot of experts are arguing that this isn't something you just turn on and leave running blindly. It is a reference harness. Security teams are meant to look at this, learn from it, and build their own custom pipelines tailored to their specific alerting needs and CI/CD workflows.
Right. It is a blueprint for bridging the gap between AI-driven attack capabilities and defensive engineering. As models get better at writing exploits, the only way to scale defense is to use those same models to proactively audit the codebase. But doing that safely and cost-effectively is still very much an open engineering challenge. Our next story looks at the intersection of AI and open source culture. The Lady Bird Browser Project has officially announced they are no longer accepting public pull requests. From now on, all code changes must be introduced by the project maintainers themselves.
For context, Lady Bird is a very high-profile nonprofit project. They are attempting to build a completely new, independent web browser engine from scratch, totally free from the code bases of Chromium, WebKit, or Gecko. They are targeting an alpha release in 2026.
The founder, Andreas Kling, was very blunt about why they are making this change. He stated that the decision stems directly from the changing economics of open source contributions due to AI. To quote him directly, "A substantial patch used to imply substantial effort, and that effort was a reasonable proxy for good faith. That assumption no longer holds."
That is a profound shift in the open source ethos. Historically, if someone submitted a complex 500-line patch, maintainers knew that person spent days or weeks on it. It signaled they cared about the project. Now, someone can generate that patch in 10 seconds using an LLM, and the burden of verifying its intent, security, and quality falls entirely on the maintainers.
It effectively turns open source maintainers into full-time code reviewers for AI output, which is a massive drain on resources. Lady Bird is tightening their development process to mitigate security risks and ensure code quality as they approach their alpha.
It raises a larger question about the future of high-stakes open source projects. Are we going to see other foundational projects, like operating system kernels or major libraries, abandon the traditional open contribution model to protect themselves from an influx of AI-assisted, potentially malicious or just low-quality code?
It is very likely. You can still maintain an open source license while effectively closing the door to external code submissions. The code remains open to read and fork, but the repository itself becomes a walled garden. It is a necessary defense mechanism, but it definitely changes the community-driven dynamic that built modern software.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up.
Sounds good. What is first on the list?
A new feature-length film titled C++ The Documentary was just released worldwide on YouTube. Produced by Cult Repo and sponsored by Hudson River Trading, it features interviews with Bjarni Straustrup, Herb Sutter, and Chris Lattner. It covers everything from its origins at Bell Labs in 1979 through the stagnation after C++ 98 and its revival with C++ 11. It's a fascinating look at the tension between the language's legendary complexity and its absolute necessity in high-performance computing.
Over on GitHub, there's a highly requested issue asking Anthropic for an official Claude desktop build for Linux. Currently, Anthropic supports the terminal-based Claude code on Linux, but the GUI application is restricted to macOS and Windows.
This is frustrating for developers because the GUI version has exclusive features like Cowork and Dispatch. Given that Claude Desktop is built on Electron, which has native Linux support, the community is stuck relying on unofficial wrappers just to access the full toolset.
Another notable Claude code issue is a feature request for automatic context usage monitoring. Users are reporting that as sessions grow, the agent suffers from context rot, where it starts guessing or forgetting instructions.
Right. And because there is no real-time indicator of how much of the context window is consumed, users have to guess when a session is too heavy. It highlights how manual context engineering is still a major hurdle for power users of agentic workflows.
That is all the time we have for today's briefing. Thank you for joining us as we navigate these shifts in the tech landscape.
We will be back tomorrow with more deep dives and updates. Until then, stay curious.